it is time for one of my favorite trainings, the art of closing. Why is it more than just commissions? Why is it more than just sales? And it's because closing is often misunderstood. Too many think it's about persuasion, pressure, compelling events. It's about overselling, back-end selling, lying, manipulating, and cheating. It's about our old image before you met Scott Simon, about what car sales was all about, getting someone to say yes at all costs. But the truth is, the best closers are not oversellers, back-end sellers, liars, cheaters, and manipulators. They're problem solvers. And there's so many different systems out there that will help you to be a resolution, a resolve, in order to have a salvation, to save people by providing them more value than they're asking for. Sales itself is a professional service. It can be seen not to the degree of importance or impacts as a human or health service, but it is an extremely important service. Without the capability of articulating a quantitative value to exceed what you're asking for, you cannot lead your family, your friends, your associates, your community, or your business. It's about identifying the value and aligning the value with what value is, aligning it with resolve and resolution from the great solver that exists, all the information and energy that exists, and creating value that's so compelling and articulated so well that the decision to share in that value becomes a mutual conclusion, a natural memorialization, a modern day handshake. And that's why we use a codification and memorialization called the overlap agreement that says, I'm going to overlap every day looking for how I can be of service or value, or how you can help me. And let's just memorialize it, knowing that time, emotion, and value is going to change. And we can recognize, remember, recollect each time and make changes to allow for the time, emotion, and value to change. Of course, there is binding agreements that are necessary according to the rules and regulations and the laws that exist in our land. But if you approach sales, even in the binding mechanism, with the mindset of being of service and of value, not overselling, back-end selling, lying, manipulating, and cheating, or feeling cheated, you'll build long-term community with short-term wins. And a long-term community that buys from each other and sells for each other will create short-term wins for the rest of your life. This training is designed to help you master the 5 to Thrive methodology, solution selling principles, the commissionless effort and intention and attention that's necessary to facilitate the value to close more deals with comfortable feelings and energy and confidence and clarity, and with your own integrity, with your own perception of that integrity, knowing that not everybody will agree that you are articulating the value to exceed what you're asking for. And that's okay. You haven't met the mark with the time, value, and emotion that's in their perception. Notate as we start the mindset of closing that closing is the ability to articulate a quantitative value to exceed what you're asking for. I'll give you $100 if you give me 20. Can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? I'll repeat that. I will give you $100 worth of value if you give me 20. Can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? At its core, that's giving people more what they like, what they know, or what's working. Or it's taking away what they don't like, what doesn't work, or what they don't know. And why does the mindset of closing in the perpetuation of service and value mean so much over the commission-based, but now a mission-based mindset? Because intentional selling is about being present, about being more interested than interesting, not just making a pitch, overselling, back and selling, lying, manipulating, and cheating. It's people buy from those people, not just that they trust, because a lot of times we will buy from someone we don't trust. We don't buy just from people that pressure us. We buy from people that are credible, even if we don't trust them. So you could take the biggest liar, cheater, manipulator, overseller, back-end seller, and have him hand me $100, have me go to the bank and deposit it, knowing that it's real, and come back and give that person $20. And it doesn't matter whether I trust them or not. It's the credibility of the opportunity that allowed me to do that transaction. And so when we look within the context of trust, we have to incorporate vetting, making people feel uncomfortable, making people know that we are checking out because we trust you enough to go ahead and do research to hold you to your word and make sure that it's effectuated upon. So many people, they know somebody is not trustworthy, but they also know somebody is not credible. And then what they do, because they want the deal so bad and they hope that it's real, regardless of whether they trust or think the person's credible, they go ahead and don't ask the hard questions, the uncomfortable questions. They don't call the references. They don't look at the bank accounts or the cost of goods or whatever it is. They don't do that. And then when the deal doesn't work out the way that they wanted it to, they blame that person because they know they're not trustworthy. They know they're not credible. And they go ahead and blame them for what they already knew. A salesperson who approaches every interaction with service and value and mission instead of desperation over selling back and selling line, manipulating and cheating and commission in mind creates a long-term community of people that buy from you and sell for you for life with short-term wins. Closing is simply a continuous outcome. It's a natural outcome, delivering value and more what they like, don't like, taking away what they don't like, working, not working, know or don't know. And this natural outcome delivers that value without forcing someone to make a decision. It's allowing them to share in the vision according to their perception and the time, value, and emotion that exists, the circumstances that exist at that time of the decision, knowing that at the time of the decision that the circumstances will change immediately, instantly after the decision is made, the agreement is made. Very important in the mindset of closing and a service-based approach to a mission-based selling system. We need to approach every single shared vision, every single sale with a service-first, mission-first mindset. Practice active listening, being more interested to understand what they like and what they don't like, what they is working and what's not working, what they know and what they don't know, before asking them, would it help you if, or do you know anyone that could help me, or can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? Lesson two within the context of this exercise of the art of closing, the commissionless but missionist approach to providing value as a service. We need to utilize that Five to Thrive system, but don't utilize my Five to Thrive system. Create your own. Taking from all the greats out there, I have taken and instituted and practiced it. Everyone from Zig Ziglar to Dennis Waitley to Mike Bosworth to Alex Hormozi to even Andy Elliott, all the different people, I'm taking the best that they have within the context of the categories that I think are best suited. And the first one is, how am I getting people to get back to me? The get back methodology is a mission-based methodology of having enough information to stimulate the interest to get people to get back to me, because today, according to the time, value, and emotions that exist and the circumstances that exist today, there's more than enough people to make interested in whatever you have, and you have access to them. This has never happened before in history. You are always limited to some sort of community. You are unlimited. Now your community is the whole world, is your stage, as Shakespeare adequately said thousands of years ago. And so if we're looking for people to get back to us in person, on the phone, via email and media, traditional and social media, then our attention is the currency of the mission. Currency is the energy in motion, right? Current is energy in motion. A currency is something that we put into the current, into the motion. So without attention, nothing else matters. If we don't have their attention, if they don't get back to us, because most of you people don't answer immediately. So our functionality is the go back methodology in order to facilitate getting someone to share a vision and create a community of people that want to help each other, know people that help each other, buy from us or sell for us. An entrepreneur who asks strategic questions about what they like, don't like, working, not working, know or don't know, will also gain insight into how they could be of service or of value by giving them more of what they like or taking away what they don't like, giving them more of what works or taking away what doesn't work, giving more of what they know or taking away what they don't know. And that's value. That's mission, not commission. In order to facilitate getting someone to get back to us and utilizing attention as the currency of the mission, curiosity is the connection, the emotional connection, the energy emotion that we utilize as a currency in order to facilitate the mission. And the right questions are opening the ability to get people to call us back. And that opening is your ability to decipher and determine the open mind. Too many people try to close a closed mind. And it ain't gonna happen. They try to create a vision, a re-engineering of a vision, a transformation, a transference, an expansion of a vision to a closed mind. Not gonna happen. And so we have to be more interested than interesting. We have to be able to be mission-based, not commission-based. And we have to know, how do we find out if someone has an open mind? And there's simple open-ended questions, or smiling if in person. Like, hey, how are you doing today? What are you doing today? What do you like? What don't you like? Have you ever heard of this? What do you know about this? I like your shirt. Did you buy it on sale? Lead with an emotional intelligence. Listen to what they like and don't like, what works and don't work, what they know and what they don't know about the subject matter, topic, or expertise in which you want them to call you back, get back, text you back, email you back, DM you back, or dial you back. It doesn't matter. And when they do get back to you, now you have to be prepared in the mission to be able to figure out if and who can provide that value. It's not about convincing them when they get back to you. It's about aligning them, taking action, and preparing for adjustment. The AAA strategy is utilized in all methodologies of a shared vision and the execution of that vision, that we look for alignment of what they like, don't like, what's working, not working, what they know and don't know. And then we take action with a well-developed plan in order to effectuate adjustment to the time, emotion, and value that's changing. A salesperson who shares success stories that mirror the client's vision builds more of that trust and credibility, but actually builds more value in order to effectuate trust and credibility. People buy into solutions that they can see themselves in. You need to place them in there by utilizing the AAA strategy to get the alignment, the action, and the adjustment according to their time values and emotion, according to their circumstances, their perception, their responsibility, their attraction. And as always, the best way to do so is utilizing stories to teach the lessons that resonate most with them. And don't be afraid to tell them a story that resonates in an agitated or perturbated way in order to facilitate knowing that resonance is not just people that tell you, yes, I love that, but it's the people that say, that bugs me like Tabasco in a wound. I hate that. Either way, you know you got them. You got them because they're emotionally connected to you, and now you know what you either need to give them more of or take away from them. Clarifying these different emotional connections and how the mission addresses them, utilizing stories and lessons in order to effectuate value of what they like or don't like, is a great way to transition the callback into an opportunity to articulate a quantitative value to exceed what you're asking for. Clients don't just want a solution. They want to know value. They want to know quantitative value. They want to know ROI, return on investment. You invest $20 with me, I will give you $100 guaranteed. Here's the $100 to hold up front. Can you see any reason you want one? Go deposit it in your account. Can you see any reason you want to move forward? That's sharing a vision. It's not just some sort of emotional connection, trust, and credibility of, oh, this is this, and a bunch of very false promises about the rust cover in the bottom of your car. Value is perceived. Bottom line is math. And when we're sharing a vision, we're talking about a perception of value that's based off of what they like and don't like, works and doesn't work, no and doesn't know. For example, a software company that presents a cost savings and efficiency gains of their product secures deals more effectively than one that just lists out all the bells and whistles, the features and benefits. When they know that your accounting takes too much time, or you don't trust your accountant, and the facilitative software that allows you to save time, money, and is more accurate. Can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? What are you spending today? What do you like today? What don't you like? What's working? What's not working? What do you know and what don't you know about your accounting system? This is all perceived value. And that perceived value is partially not only based upon your ability to articulate the quantitative value to exceed what you're asking for, but it also has to exceed the price with your confidence and comfortability. It is not just the ability of being able to articulate a quantitative value, but it's how you say it. It's not what you say, it's how they hear it because of your confidence and your comfortability in articulating that quantitative value. You need to be able, in order to effectuate that confidence and to be comfortable, you need to clearly communicate all the different components of value. What they like, don't like, what works, doesn't work, what's missing, what they know and don't know. Quantifiable benefits, not just a list of benefits. How does this particularly give them more of what they like or don't like? Emotional connection. What does it personally matter? What's the reason that you like to do this for your personal or professional life? Perceived ROI, with guarantees or without. What return will they see that they feel they can achieve? And then the exponentiality factor of giving more value than you're asking for. How does this continue to grow? How does this community continue to grow, for example, to build that long-term relationship with short-term gains? A reconciliation that most people can't and won't achieve because they're overselling, back and selling, lying, manipulating, cheating, and they're going for the short-term gain before they build the long-term relationship based off of value, which is more of what they like, don't like, works, doesn't work, knows or doesn't know, and continually managing and developing those expectations, which is the next lesson. Why does it matter once we got the sale? Once we shared a vision, why does it matter? Well, I'll tell you why it matters, because 80% of what you do, if you're looking to build long-term relationships, a community of people that buy from you and sell for you, it matters most. It's 80% of what we do. You can always practice. It's a numbers game, getting people to get back to you, transitioning those people that get back to you to articulate a quantitative value to see what you're asking for and come to an agreement or a decision. But it is only the ability to manage and develop that vision when you have articulated that value to exceed their expectations by managing and developing it. It doesn't mean you're actually beating the numbers that you promised. It's the ability to manage and develop a vision, because time, emotion, and value changes, and it would be impossible to overachieve because of the stagnant nature of a decision or agreement. It's impossible to exceed expectations throughout the history of a long-term relationship, because time, emotion, and value changes the minute you come to a decision or agreement between someone. So the real value is in the 80% of the time managing and developing that value and that vision. A salesperson in a mission provides ongoing value when time, emotion, and value changes. They follow up and have go, no-go plans, and they check in without purpose. They communicate effectively and continually articulate the value according to the time, emotion, and value, and they allow people to change their mind or even say no, even after they said yes. 80% of the deals happen after the fifth touch point anyway. Consistency wins, not just before you get an agreement or a decision, but after, whether it's written, implied, verbal, binding, non-binding, it doesn't matter. With consideration, without, it doesn't matter. You need to manage and develop, because time, emotion, and value changes instantly. Circumstances changes instantly. And if you don't have a system based off of some sort of go, no, go plan with dates attached to it, utilizing 25 no rule, the 3 no rule, or whatever option and effectiveness that you use, it doesn't matter. Don't use mine. Make it your own. Track and prioritize, pipeline with touch points. Create urgency through education not pressure of overselling, back end selling, lying, manipulating, cheating, all of the things that people do. You need to have harmony, not balance, harmony of emotional and logical value. What you like, don't like, what's working, what's not working, what you know and what you don't know. Too many people think the sale is done when they get an agreement and a decision. You're just getting started if you're on a mission. And our mission is to have an established long-term relationship with short-term gain. Long-term relationships with short-term gain. It's a very difficult reconciliation to have because it is a necessity to have a numbers game along with an emotional game, along with an impact game, along with a quantitative practice, a variety of enjoyments and what we don't like or what other people don't like, understanding value at its core. But alignment is absolutely necessary. The art of closing is one in which we effectuate by making sure we are thriving. At all times, we're on a mission. We will not worry about the commissions. We worry about our mission of providing value and asking for help, asking for value. Would it help you if? Do you know anyone that could help me? Would it help you if? Do you know anyone that could help me? Can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? Write those three questions down or ask me for the guide today. Get these questions. Review this. Practice it. Make it your own. Copy it. Create your own system. This is just a framework that works for me. Some of the concepts may resonate with you and you think they're genius, and some may sound like bullshit. Don't use those. Use the ones you like because it's resonating with you for a reason. A deal will never close unless you ask, unless you're capable of asking. And the questions that you need to ask are, would it help you in? Do you know anyone that could help me? Can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? Get these questions down. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Get the exercise on the art of closing. Practice. Make it your own. Create your own system. Send it to me. Teach me. Improve upon what I have here as I have for 35 years, 26 of them doing free Friday trainings like this. Initially, most of them sales training. Utilize an integrated solution of selling principles. Being more interested than interesting. Nobody wants to be sold. What they want to be is educated on what you can give them or what they can give you. Biochemical reaction occurs when you give someone something that they like or don't like. Biochemical reaction occurs when they give you something you like or don't like. It works or doesn't work. What you know or doesn't know. It's a biochemical reaction. Be a doctor, prescribe, diagnose, then prescribe. When we hit, you know, in basketball, they say, you know, the great coaches used to make you pass three times before you shoot, five times before you shoot. I make you ask three to five times before you shoot. Would it help you if? Would it help you if? Why do you think that? What do you like? What don't you like? Got to ask five times. It'll uncover how you can provide service or value and make it easy, comfortable, and confident to articulate the quantitative value to exceed what you're asking for. You got to use those two ears and the one mouth effectively in its own proportionality in order to effectuate being more interested than interesting. You dig deeper into the problems that have the capability in order to have the reasons, the impacts, as well as emotional connection to give you the credibility, knowing that if you're 100% credible, everybody will do what you say because it will live up to the trust and the vetting process, not just the trust. There will be no blame, shame, and justification when you know somebody's bullshitting you because you'll vet it out because you trust them and now you know their credibility. When we focus on that impact, the emotional connection comes out of what they like and don't like by asking them the reasons they'd want to do this. Money's the same way. I used to say money could buy you love and happiness, but it doesn't. It just allows you to shop. And if you shop for the right things for the right reasons, now you'll be happy. Same thing holds true in the facilitation of the quantification of value. Giving more value than you receive. Being able to perceive and utilize the bottom line to walk away. Car dealerships do this all the time, focusing on impact, not just the features. Keeping that open-minded person in wrong. Too many people are selling the wrong people. The reason that you ask 3 to 5 questions minimum, just like passing the ball 3 to 5 times, is you want the best shot. And if you're not asking those questions, you may be chasing someone that's not capable, or it's not the time, value, or emotion possible today. Why would you waste your time? I would say over 80% of the time is wasted on deals that will never happen. I also know that 80% of the deals that you end up getting because of this also would bankrupt you. 80% of all deals are either breaking even or losing money. And if all you did was break even and lose money, you go bankrupt. So you got to figure out a way not to take the deals that you lose money on, and to make sure that you're making money on the deals you're breaking even on. Now you're extremely profitable. The right audience speeds up the conversion and the value. You need to vet yourself, not just for people that are in alignment with the time, value, and emotion, but also are out of alignment. You don't push them. Guide them. Let them know this obviously isn't the right time, emotion, or value. When it is, let me know and move on to the next one. Why? Because we have an unlimited total addressable community of people that can be interested and be a part of our long-term relationship for short-term gain. For both parties, all members of our community. That's why we created our private community of people, curated by people who are willing to have open minds, open hearts, and open hands, willing to help one another and know people that can help each other. We buy from each other and sell for each other. We guarantee it. So that anyone that isn't prepared or the time, value, and emotion isn't right, please don't join. But when it is, please join. We guide, we don't push. It's always relationships over transactions. Understanding how important it is for these long-term relationships to develop into short-term gains and aggregate, accelerate, and compound those gains to an unbelievable value. When we look into the mission-based, not commission-based, community of people, utilizing the understanding of the value that we provide as a service, not quite to the impact of our service providers of health service, but believe it or not, even within the health service industry, as you know, just go online, there's a ton of selling. Sales success is measured in the relationships you have, not the commissions you gain. Focusing on delivering exceptional value beyond the agreement and decision, 80% of it created through the management and development of opportunities, options, and touches of favor, not just for you, but for the entire community of people that you want to help and know people that can help. Make sure you're asking those questions, including, do you know anyone that could help me? And can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? Mastering the process is a role of energy and frequency, not transaction. It's not quid pro. It's not giving to receive. It's giving more, being given more, receiving more, and asking for more than more. So I can give more than more, give given more and more, receive more and more, and ask for more than more than more. It's a world of more than enough. It's an energy of abundance. It's a frequency of awareness that people will buy with confidence and certainty because of your capability of asking questions about what they like and don't like, what works and doesn't work, what they know and they don't know. A speaker who believes in their message with comfortable and confidence will always be able to articulate the value better. Your energy determines your success. Your frequency determines your success, not only because you will attract more people of the same frequency, but you'll also repel the people that aren't at your frequency, that you're going to waste the majority of your time, 80% of your time with breaking even or losing money, breaking even or losing time with. Adopt it. It's already done mindset. I remember when I was teaching people to sell, when I was at West Publishing, and all these, I can't get a hold of them, can't get a hold of them. I said, well, you're not going to get a hold of them. Keep saying that. I said, give me their number, and I'd shift my energy. I'd create my frequency. I will receive no resistance. It's done. It's done. It's done. This person is available, and they would be amazed whether they're trying for a week, a month, or a year. The guy would answer in an open mind, with an open heart, and utilizing open hands, we would move the opportunity forward, or even more valuable at times, letting him know this isn't the right time. When it is, let us know. Understanding the timing, the value, and the risk tolerance is not pressure. It's alignment. We don't have to press people with a date of closing, but you can articulate that time, value, and emotion changes, and that this opportunity has a wait list. I have that for a lot of what I do. So I am only capable of doing what I can do and prioritizing what I prioritize. The three no rule can help effectuate one of the biggest challenges in the philosophy of closing. You're the one who controls the value. And if somebody's not ready, if the time, emotion, and value is not set, if you have a go, no go plan and they're not getting back to you, you are allowed to call back as fast as you want. Don't waste time asking people, when should I call back? Am I going to bother them? No, if they told you to call you on Friday at 9 a.m., then call them Friday at 9 a.m. If they don't answer, call them Friday at 5 p.m. If they don't answer, call them Monday at 9 a.m. And if they don't answer again, let them know, hey, this obviously isn't the right time or emotion. When it is, let me know. It'll either accelerate them to call you back or you'll never hear from them again. But at least you're not keep on calling them and worrying and asking when I should call them back. How come they're not calling me back? They're idiots. They're jerks. Because you haven't given them permission to change their mind or say no to you, even though you know in your own circumstances that circumstances changes, that priorities change, that time, emotion, and value changes. That's why I try my best, whether there's legal ramifications, regulations, rules, I try not to have any binding agreements. Simply memorializations that say, this is what we're going to try to do together. This is how we're going to pay each other. And if time, emotion, and value changes, we are both open to change our mind, change the deal, and also change and say no, both parties. This is the closer's playbook. This is closing at its best. It's a mission, not a commission-based practice. Closing isn't a one-time event. It's a lifestyle. It's the ability to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential and facilitating the value that we can provide. It's sales as a service, giving people more of what they like, taking away what they don't like, what works, doesn't work, what they know or don't know. The best salespeople, they don't just learn techniques and negotiation and practices. They practice articulating and quantitative value to see what they're asking for, utilizing their ability to get people to call them back, asking questions like, would it help you if, do you know anyone that can help me? Can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? What separates closers and their own spectrum of statistical success? The ones that look for long-term relationships and short-term gains over short-term gains with transactional-based relationships. Every single interaction, every call back starts with something bigger. They follow up with more value, what they like, don't like, what's working, what doesn't work, what they know and what they don't like. The fortune is in the follow up, in the management and the expectations, in the AAA strategy, but only when it's meaningful, aligned with the reasons, impacts, and capabilities of the time, value, and emotion that's presented according to the circumstances of the day and the meaning of the past. They stay solution focused. Not overselling, back-end selling, line manipulating, cheating. Not looking for some short-term win, because if you cut the line, and we're going to see it more as the economy turns a little bit, the people that cut the line are going to go back to the line. 2008, I went to the back of the line. Went bankrupt, over $100 million, went right to the back of the line because I was taking shortcuts. I wasn't living in sales as a value, as a service, the true SaaS solution. I wasn't living in my best ability by providing more value of what they like and don't like. I wasn't doing that. And I had to go to the back of the line. I had to get out of the commission-based mindset and put myself into a mission-based mindset to create long-term relationships with short-term gains. And yes, here I am 18 years later, reaping the rewards of thinking long in my relationships with short-term gains. Remember, the keys to success in sales is being more interested than interesting. Your curiosity, service first approach, the mission based, not commission based commitment of providing value by asking three simple questions. What help you with? Do you know anyone that could help me? Can you see any reason you want to move forward in a confident, comfortable way? You got to practice it. I practice it every day. Part of this training is me practicing it, reminding, remembering, recollecting with all the information that's available through my source and all the power and energy that's available in my source, who's protecting, promoting, loving, perfecting me, even in this training. And I'll make it available for you. All you got to do is email me for free, david@dmelzer.com. I'd be happy to give you the exercises, the guides, the outlines, the questions, my book, whatever you need, email me. We'd love to have you join our long-term relationship, our private network. You're curated, the billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, entertainers that we have that are there to buy from each other and sell for each other. Long-term relationship, short-term gains. All right, my friend, it is time for the Nick of WOM to reset the room. And I left a quarter today for questions. Does that sound fair?
Sounds more than fair. And thank you so much, David, for an incredible three quarters of the Art of Closing training. And for everybody that's joining us, whether you're here in the Breakfast with Champions or online, please, it is now time for Q&A. Now, for the first question of the day, David, we have a double dose of Meltzer, as Eric Meltzer is patiently waiting. So, Eric, it's great to see you, my friend. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and kick us off with the first question.
Hey, thank you so much, Nick. Thank you so much, David. This was fantastic. Two observations. The first is when you were talking about being interested in someone, one thing that I found that works really well is it's like going nine layers deep. Just keep asking the person, oh, tell me more. I want to know more. And I found it to be a really good way just to keep going and going and just opening up the trust so that you're, So that's one thing that I found. The other thing I would say is that with everything you were talking about and you know, about the hurdles I'm juggling with right now, it just really kind of hit home for me with the tricky situation I'm juggling. My question for you is, one of the approaches I use when I meet people is to just talk about like my life's mission, the Chinese human rights stuff that I do, so that I'm not just coming off as a high pressure salesperson. Like, look, it's not about getting a Lambo or Ferrari. It's about making the world a better place and saving people's lives. Is there can you offer any advice on how to not be too aggressive with it, or how to best balance, like when you're talking to a potential client about your life's mission beyond business, and how to get them on board with just you as a person?
Yeah, so that was within the context of the credibility part, as you as a person is articulating the alignment between what you like and what you don't like, what's working for you and what's not working, what you know and what you don't know, according to subject matter, topics, and expertise, which includes your personal values, your experiential values, your giving values, and your receiving values. And when we can encompass this harmony and usage of time and the prioritization, pre-prioritization, post-prioritization of what time we're spending, what attention we're giving, what intention of what we do, say, think, feel, and believe, understanding the reasons I do it, the impact it has, and the capabilities I have, not only to help you, but to know people that can help you. All of these are encompassing and aggregating into this idea of who you are, your essence, by articulating the quantitative value of your skills, your knowledge of who and what, and of course, understanding the essence, the desire, the common denominator of all successful people, which is that desire that you must be what you can be. And when you do that, when you have the open-ended questions, when you're more interested than interesting, and you can articulate an alignment and take action, but more importantly, even be able to prepare for adjustment, taking into consideration the time, emotion, and value that changes the circumstances that occur in the education and growth and expansion that is inevitable. These relationships will grow, but it's not just the relationships that grow, it's who you're growing with and who you're repelling away. I was telling a story, Eric, when I was at Aspire, I was with Gary Vaynerchuk, and we were talking about the videos. He was up on stage, and he was super funny about TikTok. And we were talking about the difference between videos according to your frequency or your essence that get 4 million views compared to the ones that get 400 views. And I was explaining to him that the 400 view videos on LinkedIn are the ones that I really look at closely, not the 4 million view ones on TikTok, because I know the frequency or the essence of knowing who I am. Anyone that would take the time to watch that video that gets 400 views is at a different frequency. Awareness is more aligned with my personal experiential giving and receiving values, and is more valuable to my long-term relationships with short-term gains. And inevitably, I find the biggest CEOs, the billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers that are aligned with my frequency in the 400 person videos, not the 4 million. And knowing that there are different frequencies, as I stated at the end of the training, and I really encourage people to go back and get the guide and think about and learn using that outline and making it their own and copying it and improving on it and expanding it, that they understand that it is a mutual symbiotic community of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. And that it's not just a one-sided binding agreement. It's a mutual memorialization. It's a reminder, it's a remembrance of the oneness, the unified, abundant, infinite system of thought that this collective private group is facilitating and guaranteeing that value regardless of what changes, what circumstances occur. Does that sound fair?
Yes, very much so. Thank you. I'm going to pass it over to Brent Nichols, who I know is always bringing the questions and is going to be seeing us next week as well. Mr. Nichols, the floor is yours, my friend.
Thanks, Nick Awam. Thank you, Meltzer. This telling, this is perfect, right? Because this is exactly, you know, it's a super cool skill to have. I find, you know, you go through the process and, you know, you inject pain and you present your solution and all that good stuff. I find it's almost easier to sell to, you know, someone like Colt, right? Because you can do your whole thing. So is there an art to selling to like people that are super warm or people that you know like super well? I feel like it should be easier, but I'm finding it not easier.
Because you don't believe. So the people that don't feel comfortable or confident selling people they know, love, or like, it's because they don't believe. And so they mitigate that feeling by selling people that they don't know because they're not comfortable and confident in what they're selling. So I tell people all the time when they're raising money, they're like, oh, no, I can't go to my family. Oh, so you really don't believe that it's worth the investment. Well, what are you talking about? Well, you know, if it was me, you know, I personally, if I thought if you gave me $20 and I was 99% sure I could give you back $100, I'd be telling all my family and friends. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you feel comfortable and confident selling your family and friends if you knew, right? I do this with cars. I had cars and it was like, dude, I don't need $5,000 for this old car. So I will give it to you for $1,000. But I sold my friends and family that car because I knew that it was worth more than I was asking for. And so you need to be honest with yourself and ask yourself that, if I don't feel confident or comfortable selling people I know, love, or like, then I really don't believe that I'm going to make them more money than I'm asking for, because there shouldn't be any reason that I'm not asking them first if I got a killer deal and I believe in it. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, because it's more, I mean, I believe, and I'm like hugely.
Do you? Do you? Then why won't you be selling your family and friends if you believe that you're bringing all this value?
Well, maybe because they're not an ICA. And they can't.
Well, that's not what you said, right? That's ridiculous. So this is what happens every time I call people out on this, right? They're like, well, they're not a potential client. They don't have money. Okay, well, then that's I already told you that that's a closed mind. You don't sell a closed mind. So it has nothing to do with them being family or friends. It's they're not a prospect because they're not aligned. You can't, you know, they, you know, I'm selling a $6 million house. I don't sell it to my family and friends who can't afford it. But if I was giving a great deal on my $6 million house, I would go to every family and friend who is in that market. So I'm not understanding your question anymore, Brent.
Got it. No, I think I'm in the wrong circle because the people that need my product probably. That is the question. I think you nailed it, dude.
I love to call people out to question themselves. I have done this for a year and lied to myself about me selling family and friends. And the truth is, I'm not going to sell other people if I'm not selling my family and friends for the family and friends that are aligned with what I'm selling, right? If I'm selling bras, I'm not going to sell bras to my brother, although he may need them.
That's a big 10-4. No, that makes a whole hell of a lot of sense.
Very good. So
fish in the right pond, right?
Yes, you got it.
All right. Thank you so much, David. Happy Friday. Lots of love to you, Nick.
And I love you, man. I hope I didn't hurt your feelings. I was trying to make a point there.
No, dude. No way.
All right, good.
We need to hear the things we need to hear so we can grow and learn.
Yeah, exactly. So, sometimes I go fast and I'm not as kind to my friends as I should be calling their bullshit. So I love you. Thank you for being the victim and the example. All right. I love you, man. I'll see you.
All right. Thanks, man.
Bye. Oh, Nick knows what it's like to feel the perturbation. So
perturbation. It only makes us better. Now, with that said, we do have time for, I think we're going to have one more question here, and I'm going to pass it over to the wonderful Colleen to close us out. Colleen, the mic is yours. Please close us out with the final question of the day.
I am here. Thank you so much. Hold on. Okay. My question this morning is, there was a great quote on your podcast, Dave, with Ryan Serhant, and you kind of touched on it earlier, and it was about how people don't want to be sold, but they want to shop with their friends. So that emotional connection is so important when you get on the phone. What do you do to prepare yourself emotionally before you pick up the call to make that sale?
Great question. And that's probably the quote that made me love Ryan Serhant the most. Because, you know, I thought he was a Bravo star. I was not extremely excited to think that this guy was aligned, incredible in what his sales capabilities were. And ever since I met him, he has only exceeded my expectation of his capability. And he's one of the world's greatest sales teachers and salespeople that I know, because he's truly mission-based. And he understands that emotional connection part in which you're asking about. And so when he said during that interview, and I encourage everyone to go back, listen to the playbook, whether it's on Apple TV, Reach, on SiriusXM, Spotify, wherever you want to listen to it, it's there. Listen to Ryan. But when he says, you'll hear me, I'm blown away. And I think you may have been there or you listened to it. I forget, it's years ago. But I know he blew me away when he said that people don't want to be sold. They want to shop with friends. Aligned with the mission, long-term relationships, short-term gains. And then in that facilitation is the emotional aspect. Look, emotions are energy in motion, and we need to make sure we're in the right energy besides the right mindset, heart set, and handset. And when I say in the right energy is that people will misinterpret our emotions if they're not aligned with what we are communicating about. Would it help you if, do you know one that could help me? And so we lose people because our emotions may be worried about our teenagers, or they may be from someone cutting us off on the freeway. And we have an emotion that's not aligned with the articulation of value and the emotion of the belief, comfort, and confidence in what we're selling. And this happens all the time. I'll leave someone in here later. Well, you know, really, there was just something off, man. I just didn't trust it. You know, and meanwhile, my mind was on, you know, my teenage daughter, you know, something going on with her, with her boyfriend, not on the sale. So what we need to do is make sure that we are aligned energetically with the energy in which should be confidence, comfortability in the articulation of quantitative value. And if we're not, then shift your energy before you engage, before you call them back, before you have the conversation. If your energy is off, go ahead and drop off of the conversation, because I promise you, it's like talking to a closed mind. It's only going to create more interference for you. And so in the AAA strategy, alignment, action, and adjustment, energy is one of the things that we need to align, keep in force in action, and adjust. And it's a very important one, because people are constantly analyzing and putting logic to emotion, and they're not congruent with one another. And so then they make interpretations, and it distracts from the value in which we're communicating in a confident way. Great question. Great quote. And you are an amazing person, Colleen, and I always appreciate you participating. Thank you so much. I know it's not easy with a little baby at 7 a.m. on California time, but I will see you later. She's amazing. Go ahead, check out Colleen Malloy at Colleen Malloy, Colleen at TheMeltzer.com. She'll help you as well. Join our group, join our wait list for one-on-one help if you need that. Whatever you need, Colleen is a great resource. Colleen, thank you so much. Nick of Guam, I want to thank you. It's 7 a.m. on the dot. Why don't you go ahead and close out the room on Clubhouse? I'll close out the room on all the other platforms. Does that sound fair?
Sounds more than fair. And thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. This has been the Art of Closing training. If you would like the exercises, guides, and books on the Art of Closing or anything else, if you'd like to join us, if you'd like to join our private networking group, david@dmeltzer.com. If you do not want to be invited, do not text or email me to be invited. Don't join our alerting system. So if you feel obligated when somebody invites you, or you feel annoyed when you get an email or a text message, I'm not your guy, but you just got to let me know. No need to be offended. Just let me know. I'm not your guy. I don't want a whole bunch of emails. I don't want a whole bunch of text messages inviting me to 200 things from the Masters, Kentucky Derby, Breeders' Cup, ESPYs, Emmys, Oscars, Grammys, all the meetups, holding court speeches, Aspire events, the $100 million masterminds, the elevator nights, the two-minute drill, the office hours, the Instagram lives, the free Friday trainings, the Wednesday Napoleon Hill trainings, the Napoleon Hill VIP dinner. You're getting the drift? Don't text me, 949-298-2905. Remember, most importantly, you need to be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. We'll see you later. Thanks for joining me.